Welcome again to Advent Hope. I'm Kevin Dunn, your speaker. We're going to conclude our series on who is the United States in prophecy today, hopefully. And I want to just begin to share with you from the outset. People are curious about the future of America. Many people, when they're polled, they say that America is on a wrong course, that we're headed in a downward direction. We're thinking about all the threats to American security from countries like China and Russia and North Korea, Iran. People with nuclear weapons or in the stages of developing nuclear weapons. And there's a lot of Americans today who feel fundamentally insecure about the fate of America, the future of our great country. Now, hopefully we're not staying awake at night, losing sleep over it, because a lot of us kind of think, well, if that's what's bound to happen, let it happen. God's going to get the last say in the end anyhow. And I don't disagree with that, you know, but in my mind, this country that I love, I grew up admiring America, respecting its institutions, acknowledging that it's a gift from God that we have this country where we can enjoy our freedoms, relatively speaking, with the rest of the world. But the future of America seems rather bleak to me. And so I can't positively say that I'm optimistic about the future of America. Now, I don't want to be downbeat. I don't want to, you know, think, oh, dear, you know, we're going to hell in a handbasket, although some would argue that that's exactly what's happening. I want to start off with the announcement that, again, we're continuing our Celebrate Recovery every Thursday night at the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Had a pretty good group last night. Love to have you come out and join us. We had some rollicking laughter, had some fun, but we also confronted the issues that deal with addiction and helping people not just to break the habits, but to stay free from the destructive addictions that so many of us are caught up on. There's no judgment, no condemnation. And everything's confidential. We don't share your business out in the street. We make sure that things are confidential and they stay within that room. But you're invited to come out 6 o'clock, Seventh-day Adventist Church, Thursday night, 6 o'clock, Seventh-day Adventist Church on Goshen Road in Beaver Dam. We'd love to have you come out and check it out. All right. We have a good time there, like I say, and but we're also learning. We're being educated. We're being strengthened in our endeavors to stay off whatever addiction we may have, whether it's alcoholism, drug use, cigarette, whatever it may be, pornography, all of these things. But we want to do what we can as a service to our community to help people fight these habits that so much of our culture is actually endorsing. You know, the beer commercials, the liquor commercials, the way that we're addicting citizens, including children, to alcohol, it's pretty disturbing to me. And I'm not here to judge. I'm not saying that any of us are perfect, but I'm saying it's outrageous. I'll just go ahead and say it. It's outrageous the way that companies are promoting their products, knowing that these products are causing all kinds of social and civil strife in our country. Knowing that many auto accidents happen because there's drinking involved. Knowing the families are destroyed and people their health is ruined and their minds are ruined because of drugs and liquor and all of these things. And yet the companies still promote their product because there's money to be made. Well, I don't want to get on a soapbox over this, but I think that we are in deep, deep trouble unless we're able to overcome these things. And can I just be honest with you? I attribute some of the blame to the churches in America. None of the churches speak up against these social issues. Very few of the churches. I think many of the preachers in our country have lost their nerve. They've forgotten their divine calling to call America to its Christian roots, to establish a foundation of righteousness. They've forgotten that God has called this nation to a higher standard, and that we're not to be destroying ourselves with all of these addictions and habits and self-destructive things that we do. But preachers don't preach on these things anymore because it's not popular, because it can cost them their pulpit, because it's dangerous to speak up against social evils, social things that are happening. Well, here's one preacher that feels a burden to do exactly that. I remember reading about in the old days, you had preachers like Billy Sunday who would stand up and talk about the devil's brew and the evil effects of being involved in partaking of it. I remember reading about this lady named Carrie Nation. K Carrie Nation, I'm not advocating violence on it by any means, but she used to take her hatchet and go into bars and liquor stores, and she'd smash the bottles, and she had a group with her, and people were afraid of her. People stood back as she smashed the products of the liquor companies back in her day. There was a strong push against companies producing these type of things, knowing the husbands would often work for the week, and then Friday night they would spend all of their money getting drunk. They'd come home, beat on their wives, threaten their kids. Things got very unwieldy, very bad back in the pre-prohibition days. Now, I'm not advocating prohibition. I know that that was tried and failed. But I am suggesting churches, individuals, we need to start speaking up against these things. We need to take a stance for moral righteousness. God gives us the standard of moral righteousness. And woe is us, he says. I'm looking at a verse in Isaiah, the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Did you catch the first part of that? Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Well, we've been a nation that has been far from perfect, and yet we believe that we were founded upon essentially upon Christian principles. We believed, many of our founders, that God had established this nation as a light on the hill, as a beacon to the rest of the world, a place where religious liberty could exist. Now, it's true, and some of you historians are already thinking, well, the Puritans didn't always allow for religious freedom. But overall, by the time of the Revolution, people began to think in terms of freedom of religion, and that's why Jefferson penned his famous Danbury Baptist Church letter, talking of the principle of the separation, a strict separation of church and state. That's why the First Amendment, guaranteeing the freedom to worship as your conscience dictates to you, or not worship if you choose. I don't condemn people for belonging to different churches. I don't condemn someone for not believing in God at all. Now, I strongly disagree with that position because I believe nature and Scripture demonstrate soundly that God exists, that God has a portion to play in our Earth's existence. He maintains this universe. I believe this. But I don't condemn someone who doesn't. I have the power of persuasion. We can talk about it, you know, but God is real. God exists. God is relevant. And God is relational. He's one who wants to be in fellowship with all of us. You know, as I was, I'm doing a study on the book of Isaiah, and I found some parts there that pertain to America, the United States of America. You know, I read from Isaiah chapter 6, but now I want to read a little bit from Isaiah chapter 2. Now, understand, Isaiah is talking about God's people, especially the people of Judea in those ancient times. They had wandered astray. They had gotten involved in all kinds of sinful practices of the foreign nations around them. And he calls out this indictment against Judea, the covenant people of God, in Isaiah 2, verses 6 and on. Well, I'll start with verse 5. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. You have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with eastern ways. They are soothsayers like the Philistines. They are pleased with the children of foreigners. Their land is also full of silver and gold. There is no end to their treasures. Their land is also full of horses. There is no end to their chariots. Their land is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. People bow down. Each man humbles himself. Therefore, do not forgive them. He's talking about humbling themselves before the idols that they bow before. We're talking about America. But I'm using this example that the prophet Isaiah referred to as he spoke to the children of Israel, in this case, especially the Judeans. He says, you've forsaken, you've been forsaken because they've been filled with Eastern ways. Now, when we think of Eastern ways, what do we think of today? Well, there's countries like China and India and in other parts of Asia. But when he's talking about Eastern ways, there's been a strong drive within the last few decades for people to indulge, to imbibe in Eastern thought forms, Eastern religions, Eastern forms of worship, Hinduism, Buddhism, New Age, became a pop catchphrase back in, I don't know, the 80s and 90s. And really, it's just a reincarnation of Eastern worship. Many Americans, and I think back to the time of the Beatles going to India and talking to Indian gurus and imbibing, embracing the Indian forms of worship, Americans, that became kind of posh. It became kind of a fad. Many Americans have indulged in Eastern forms of religion. They've turned their back on the essential Christianity upon which this nation is established. What's been the result? It's not been good. It's not been good. So they turned to soothsayers. They turned to Eastern ways. Their land full of silver and gold. America is a prosperous nation. We're the richest nation on the face of the earth. No wonder people by the thousands are struggling hard to come over here. We've been blessed in so many ways, but in some ways our very blessings have caused us to turn our back upon the God who gave us these blessings. And I'm talking about the God who not only provided the things upon which our wealth is founded, but the God who gave us the capabilities to improve our lot in life. You know, I look around, and I know some of you may live in nicer homes, and some of you may live in small, dumpy homes, or whatever you want to call them. And I'm not condemning anybody. You know, it is what it is. But if you compare the lifestyle that we live here in America to the lives that people live in so many other parts of the world, and I'm thinking of Africa and India and other poverty-stricken parts of the world, we are indeed a success-filled nation. We have things, we have commodities, we have luxuries, we have things that the rest of the world could only dream of, and that's why so many of them are trying hard to come to America. God has blessed this nation. Will He continue to bless this nation as long as we increasingly, step by step, call good evil and evil good, as God through Isaiah has indicted the Jewish people of his day? Will we call good evil and evil good, and will God continue to bless this nation as long as we do that? Well, I'm going back to Revelation 13. Revelation 13, we talked about it last week. I make the case, and I know that until all the details are in, is probably kind of a weak-sounding one, but I make the case that Revelation 13 talks about the United States of America. The case, based upon the timing of it, I mentioned that the papal system that had endured for 1,260 years came to its conclusion, at least that stage of it, in 1798 when the Pope was taken captive by Napoleon's General Berthier. And it was about that time that the American nation, the United States, came on the scene. I mentioned that this beast that's a composite of the animals described in Daniel 7, it's made up of the four beasts that came out of the sea. Now, the second beast, Revelation 13:11, describes another beast coming up out of the earth. The earth being an apt representation of America, which was essentially empty. Now, there were thousands of Indians scattered across the continental United States, and don't make no mistake about it, there were many Indian tribes. But when you're talking about populated areas, you're comparing Europe, which had long existed with crowds, with big cities, with a heavy population, with America, which as the pilgrims and other colonizers came over, pioneers came over from Europe, they found wide open spaces, they found places to establish farms and build towns that eventually grew into cities. And so I'm suggesting that the second beast represents America in the last days. All right? It comes out of the earth, has two horns like a lamb, speaks like a dragon. These two horns, it's been said, and I think reliably so, represent civil and religious liberty. We are a nation that has religions without a papal power controlling it, and we have a republican form of government without a king overseeing it. We have checks and balances. We have freedom of religion. We have freedom of expression. We have freedom to congregate. We have freedom of the press. Sometimes people may complain about the press, you know, because we don't like some of the things we hear on media. and this goes for both sides. You know, I hear people, you know, talk about CNN and MSNBC and NBC and ABC, and then on the other side, people complain about Fox, you know, and everybody's certain that the other side is just lying all the time. Well, there may be some truth about that. Both sides. But the fact of the matter is, freedom of the press is something that we've treasured as Americans because it helps us to keep the government honest to a point. It helps us to know what the government is up to maintain the security of our rights, make sure that our liberties are protected. And so a free press is in existence largely for that purpose. Okay, so we're talking about this beast here in Revelation. I'm suggesting it symbolizes the United States with its civil and religious liberties. It looks like a lamb, but eventually speaks like a dragon. Now, the devil is represented as a dragon in the book of Revelation. And the devil doesn't primarily use powers of persuasion, but powers of threat and force and persecution. I believe there's coming a time in America when persecution will exist. Now, I know that many Christians today believe that the government's already persecuting them because, you know, we hear of instances where they're being denied rights and privileges by the IRS. We're being denied rights and privileges. We're being spoken against through our Hollywood media. You know, Christians are often ridiculed. Christians are often made to sound stupid. Okay, by the Hollywood media, or if they get mentioned at all. Hollywood media is not pro-Christianity. Once in a while, you'll see a movie that mentions Christianity or mentions a religious figure. But by and large, they seem to put God way off on the back burner someplace, and they solve their problems within the space of an hour or a half hour, and everybody lives happily ever after until the next episode. But primarily, our country is becoming increasingly secularized. And by that, I mean increasingly putting God on the back burner, making him irrelevant, making him essentially non-existent. Who needs God after all? We solve our problems. We take care of our issues. We're going to find a way to deal with the crises that come up and stare us in the face. We're pretty smart. We're Americans. We can handle it, okay? And those that rise up and take a stand on religious righteousness and holiness, ultimately, they will become subjected to persecution. How could such a thing happen here in America? How could such a thing happen in America? I want to go back to America's foundations for just a moment. I want to suggest, and I have in front of me my copy of the Declaration of Independence. What am I doing with that? Declaration of Independence was written by Thomas Jefferson, edited by John Adams and perhaps some others. But it was the declaration authorizing our complete separation from the Empire of Great Britain and establishing us as a new nation. All right. But I want to share four important parts of the Declaration of Independence. First of all, he refers to nature's God. In the first paragraph of the Declaration, he says, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands, the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. Okay? Nature's God, Jefferson referred to. Now, some think that this is kind of the God of deism. Okay? He wound up the universe like a man winds up a clock and just lets it run. Doesn't intervene in human affairs, doesn't have anything to do with how we run our lives, just kind of out there somewhere, okay? That's the first reference to God in the Declaration of Independence. Second reference, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Notice who endows us with these rights. It's not the government. The government, its function is to protect the rights already given to us. By who? By our Creator. Okay? So here we already have two acknowledgments that God exists. That God is our Creator, and He's the one who gives us these rights, these liberties. And then as we get toward the end of this wonderful document, near the end, as the signers are getting ready to sign their name upon this document, we read, "We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions." Appealing to who? To the Supreme Judge of the world. Who would that be? We call him God. We call him Providence. We call him our Father. We have many names for him, but he is God. He is the Supreme Judge of the world, by which all of us will be judged eventually. And then the closing sentence of this August document says, "And for the support of this declaration, and with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." So they're appealing to God as creator. They're appealing to God, number two, as the one who issues our individual rights as human beings. We're appealing to God as the supreme judge of all of these things, okay? And we're appealing to God as the one who provides protection and success in this endeavor towards revolting against the empire of Britain. Why do I share this? I want to remind us again, we are a nation founded upon Christian principles. We're not a theocracy, but we are founded on the basis of God being in existence and God giving us these rights and God establishing us as this nation. And as long as we understood that God was the one who established and he's the supreme judge of this nation, we had our problems, but we succeeded. We're still in existence as the world's greatest republic today. But what happens to America? Well, I referred to a verse in Isaiah that talked about there comes a time when we call right wrong. Woe to he who calls right wrong and wrong right. Increasingly, America is looking inside its own resources, its own desires, its own self-gratification. Increasingly, America is moving further and further away from godly principles and further away from his standard of moral righteousness. And so now we are at the stage where men are becoming women or trying to, women are becoming men or trying to, where transgenderism and LGBT and all of these things are now becoming increasingly widely accepted. What has happened in America? We have lost our moral foundation, our moral roots, and as a result, there are consequences to be paid. Now, as we move forward in Revelation 13, we find that this entity, this America, eventually exercises the authority of the first beast in his presence, causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. What is this talking about? We talked about America embracing a New Age Eastern philosophies, which in essence is a form of spiritualism. We're talking about the churches around the world endorsing and uniting on certain key points of doctrine that they hold in common, and those who don't unite with them will in fact suffer persecution. It's interesting, Jesus said in John 16, 1 and 2, in John 16, he says, "These things I have spoken to you, you should not be made to stumble." And he said, "They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming," he said. "Whoever kills you will think he offers service to God. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me." I remember a presidential candidate who one time said, "Well, my favorite verse in the Bible," he was from Tennessee, "so my favorite verse in the Bible is John 16:3. Now, he meant John 3:16. Okay, "God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But instead, he chose John 16:3. And what's John 16:3 say again? "And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me." When people begin to use the power of state to enforce their religious beliefs, we haven't seen it yet, but I believe that it's coming, my friend. It's all part of the decline of America, as America increasingly gets involved in sinful immorality, as America continues its downhill slide towards ungodliness and towards secularism. we're going to find them looking for scapegoats, because at the same time as disasters happen and wars happen, and there's a call to get America back to God. That's what we need to do. We need to get America back to God. And there's going to be kind of a form of godliness without the power thereof, as Paul would describe it. There's going to be kind of a pop religion, a resurgence, false revival, revival based upon signs and wonders. It's said that verse 13, he performs great signs so that he even causes fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. False revival. That's what that's talking about. Fire is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. When we talk about fire coming down from heaven and brought down by this apostate beast, we're talking about false manifestations of the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So when we see the false revivals happen, they're based not upon truth, not upon righteousness, but upon emotion, but upon feeling, upon sensationalism, signs and wonders. He's going to do all of these things and impress many of the people of the world that this is the true evidence of God's leading, but it will be far from God's leading. And they will turn and they will persecute as they try to enforce their form of religion, or I should call it disformity of true religion, true Christianity, upon those who remain opposed to them. Well, I know that I'm saying an awful lot here, and there's plenty left in this chapter that we could cover, but I just want us to be aware that America is in a state of decline right now. America, this country that we love, that we still support its institutions, we still support the veterans, we still salute the flag. America's been a wonderful country for a long time, not perfect. We've had our problems, we've had our issues. But stage by stage, we've been able to overcome these problems for the most part. But now we are reaching a point of no return, when good is called evil and evil is called good. When mankind becomes so mixed up on the very status of men and women, okay? And I'm not going to belabor this, and I'm not condemning people who practice different lifestyles, but I'm just saying, when God created man and woman, he created them man and woman, and he created them to celebrate a family relationship, and this has been established from creation, and it worked. It was great. It was how families, and families were the foundation of society. But when man seeks to change God's plan for humanity, and we begin to call evil good and good evil, and especially those things that are expressly forbidden, often several times throughout the Holy Scriptures, we know that we are headed down a downward path. You know, it's interesting to me, the Roman Catholic Church today, many wonderful people in that church, but the Pope actively endorses, and so does our United States President, and so do many of the Catholic prelates, or leaders in our government, I should say. They openly endorse a woman's right to abortion. Now, if you've had an abortion, God does forgive. You know, it doesn't mean you're lost. Doesn't mean you can't seek and receive forgiveness. But it's just amazing to me that on an issue that is so contrary to essential Roman Catholic teaching, that the Pope and Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden and many other Catholics here in America and around the world, they will close their eyes and they will actually endorse something that their own church speaks strongly against. Why am I mentioning this? Because it's like the world is embracing a popular form of Christianity that allows for indiscretion, that allows for active sin to take place, and still call themselves Christians. You know, it's no wonder that our United States President, and I'm not getting political here, you know, you vote your conscience, whatever it may be, but it's amazing that the President belongs to a certain faith community that speaks strongly against abortion and other things that the President endorses, but at the same time calls himself a good Catholic. This is what I'm talking about. Pop Christianity. We pick and choose, we cherry pick those things that we embrace and practice and ignore the rest. Well, I'm not condemning him, I'm not condemning Catholics in general, I'm not condemning anybody, but what I am suggesting is when the world embraces a pop form of Christianity and not a biblical form of Christianity, then we know that we are headed down that downhill precipice. Then we know that we have started calling good evil and evil good. And that will wind up being the decline of America. God will continually withhold his blessing. People are saying today that America is more messed up today than it's ever been before, whether it's in politics, whether it's in morality, whether it's sports, entertainment, whatever it may be. But the polls that I've read about say that most Americans believe that this country is in a decline. And so we want to take that into consideration, and we want to get back to studying our Bibles. We want to know what thus saith the Lord means. What does God have to say about anything, about all of it, and to follow his word and his will. America is a wonderful nation, as long as we can keep it with its Christian foundations. And so as a minister of the gospel, I'm privileged to preach the gospel in my churches. I'm privileged to preach here on the radio and to remind us that America's prosperity, its success, is founded upon the blessings that God has given us. And we should never, never forget this. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.